Hey everyone, and welcome to the Growth Tribe podcast, where we're all about growing ourselves to create lives we effing love on our terms. I'm Ellen, and I'm a former biomedical researcher turned coach who fell in love with personal growth when it empowered me to transform my health, quit my PhD, travel the world, and start my own business. But don't get me wrong, I'm still figuring my shit out too, and I'm so pumped to share what I'm learning along the way. We've got amazing interviews, big stories, tips, tricks, and no bullshit action steps that we can all learn from. So with that, welcome to this episode of The Growth Tribe.
Oh, hey there, friends, and welcome back to The Growth Tribe podcast. I am really, really excited to talk about today's topic. I'm recording this a little bit earlier than I usually do because, full transparency, I started a new position this week. Don't worry, coaching and the podcast is not going anywhere. But to kind of take a little bit of the time pressure off of myself, I decided to record this episode a little bit early. If you follow my Instagram stories, you will probably know exactly when I'm recording this. Because the thing that inspired this episode is I went for a walk over the weekend. And I was really, you know, it's something so nice about getting into nature that really, really gets the juices flowing for me particularly, and gets me kind of just in this creative state. And I got so inspired to talk about this. But really what I'm going to talk about today, and I want to give you guys some context to really know if this episode is for you, is some of the emotions that people tend to feel when they are starting to make the transition to really, really living out their dreams. Emotions like worry, overwhelm, confusion, embarrassment. So if you are somebody who is in the process or is considering to really, really start going for something that you want in your life, and I don't really care what that thing is, if it feels like a big deal, a stretch to you, a dream of yours, and you felt any of these emotions, definitely, definitely stay tuned in this episode because I'm going to talk about each of these things and really give you some tangible advice for how to overcome that feeling. And really, the reason why I want to talk about this is I personally felt like so often when I was making the transition, you know, from being in graduate school, pursuing this field, to starting to live out a dream of being self-employed, you know, having my own business, being a coach. You know, when I was starting to live that out, I felt a lot of these things and I felt really alone in feeling them. Like I was, you know, somehow this was, you know, my struggle, my thing that I was dealing with, and that all these other entrepreneurs had never experienced some of these things. Or even if it's not an entrepreneurial goal, like that nobody else who'd ever done this before had experienced what I was experiencing. Because, you know, fact of the matter is, we don't talk about some of these things. You know, we don't go out on, you know, on our social media accounts and talk about the fact that we felt so guilty pursuing the thing we wanted. We don't talk about how overwhelming it was to get started, how we worried so much about XYZ in the process. And, you know, that's just too bad because I know for me, I would have felt so much better about knowing that I wasn't the only person that felt this way. And I really want to paint the picture for you today that, A, not only have I felt this, but that so many other people have. So with that, let's get into the first topic. So the first thing I want to talk about in this context is overwhelm. So I feel like people can feel overwhelm from the context of not knowing what they want, or they can also feel it from not knowing how to get what they want. So there's the question of what and the question of how. And I feel like depending upon your personality or just depending upon where you're at in your journey, you can struggle with one of these two questions. And the interesting thing about the what, and I feel like this came up in our conversation with Jackie. This is going to come up in future conversations that I'll be having with future guests on this podcast. But really, to figure out the what and to not feel overwhelmed is A, ditch the timeline. Part of the reason why people feel overwhelmed by the question of, well, I don't know what I want, is because they feel like they should have it figured out. There's that stupid should word again. You guys know how I feel about that word. Like, they feel like because they're of a certain age or at a certain point in their life that they quote unquote should have this figured out. And you know what I'm going to tell you? How you overcome this is to ditch should. Ditch the timeline, ditch what people are telling you you should be doing in your life, and just sit down and, you know, brainstorm. Jackie gave a really, really wonderful tangible activity in her episode that I highly encourage you to go listen to and check out again. And it was essentially just sit down and figure out what a perfect life looks like for you. You know, maybe you'll change your mind. Maybe, you know, perfect life is a little bit too strong, but just figure out what you want. What do you want your morning to look like? You know, her example was she wanted 30 minutes to cuddle with her cat in the morning. You know, maybe for you, maybe you have to wrangle children and you just want some time that's yours in the morning. Well, write that down. You know, think about all of these different situations, all of these different times in your day. You know, when you, in the morning, when you get to work, you know, maybe when you get home from work, maybe a big part of your dream future life is not having to commute because you have a god-awful 2-hour commute. Maybe that's part of your future dream life. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. It can be, but to get started, just think about the things in your life right now that you don't really like, and how would you change them if you had a perfect future? So that's a really, really easy, simple way that you can figure out what you want. It doesn't even need to be something as concrete of, I want to start X kind of business. I want to achieve X kind of goal. It doesn't have to look like that. And if you're feeling pressure to set goals like that, then you, my friend, are exactly where I was and exactly where so many of us have been. And you're stuck in should. So as soon as you catch yourself saying that stupid word, that's your red flag, okay? So I want you to just keep it simple to start with in terms of figuring out what you want. If you're struggling with the how question though, and that's the place where you're overwhelmed, oh my goodness, my friend, A, take a breath, and B, focus on one step at a time. Dreams are built brick by brick. Businesses are built brick by brick. You know, books are written word by word, paragraph by paragraph, and we get overwhelmed when all we see is the outcome. All we see is this distant, seemingly unachievable goal in the future. But nobody who's achieved that goal has done it, you know, without taking simple, tangible, small steps forward. You know, so what's your goal? And now I want you to sit down and just brainstorm what needs to happen to achieve this goal. You know, if you want to write a book, okay, what needs to happen to do that? Maybe, okay, you start with an outline. Or maybe you just start with a brainstorm and figure out, okay, what could I write about? What are the different directions I could take this book? You know, once you've settled on a topic, then start an outline. You know, maybe you do some research. Maybe you get some input from somebody else. How could you refine this topic a little bit more? And then you have to sit down and write it. So what's a tangible way that you could sit down and write that book? You know, maybe you just write 100 words a day. Maybe you write for a half an hour a day. Maybe you rent a house somewhere and you just hole yourself away for a month until you get the manuscript written. You know, but break it down into steps. You know, and if that step is overwhelming you, if you've got a brainstorm of steps and you're looking at a step and that single step is overwhelming you, break it down even more. You know, that signal of overwhelm is that you're too big. You're thinking too big. So just simplify, and get it into the simplest actionable step that you can take to move that thing forward. The biggest reason why we get stuck is because we're thinking too big. So break your steps down and start going brick by brick, step by step, and keeping it simple. I love that acronym. Keep it the KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You know, I'm not calling you stupid, but keep it simple, okay? That's going to really, really help you keep from feeling overwhelmed. You know, same thing for like, if you want to run a half marathon. Okay, what's step one? You got to pick your half marathon, right? Which one are you going to run in? Okay, cool. You picked it. Have you registered? Okay, go register. You know, do you have running shoes? Actually, this is, you know, all your running gear is like a less important thing in terms of like running pants, you know, having a nice little running belt to put your phone in, less important, but running shoes, super, super important. Otherwise your feet will hate you and you won't be able to finish your training program. So get running shoes, you know, figure out where there's a running store near you, schedule a time to go, get fitted for running shoes, buy your running shoes. Okay, cool. You've got running shoes. Pick a training program. You know, how much time do you need to do that training program? You know, all of these are little steps in the process, but they're important because if you skip one of them, probably you're not going to be able to run a half marathon, right? So keep it simple, break your steps down, and that will help you overcome the feeling of overwhelm that you've got going on up in your brain right now, okay? The next thing I really, really want to talk about in the context of this whole, some of the emotions we feel is, you know, what's the next step after you figured out what you want and maybe even after you figured out how to get it? Is you probably start telling people about it. Like if you're truly, truly excited and passionate about something that you're going to be pursuing, you're probably going to want to start telling the people in your life about it, right? But even that process of telling people about it can lead to, well, for lack of a better way to say this, all the feels, right? Like it can lead to, you know, embarrassment. It can lead to, you know, guilt. It can lead to pressure. Like anytime you're telling somebody about your big dream, there's a lot of emotions that are associated with that, right? Like fear of judgment, that's a big one. Like if we're truly excited and enthusiastic about something, we want somebody else to be too. But what if they're not? That can be terrifying, right? Like what if not only are they not excited about it, but they think it's stupid or they think it's unrealistic. There's a fear of judgment there, no matter how plausible that reaction is in whatever situation we're thinking of, that fear is still there. You know, there's also a fear of, you know, or there's a guilt and a pressure that's associated with sharing your goal and sharing your dream, because all of a sudden, once you share it, there's like a pressure that now you need to achieve it. So like, how do you deal with that? Well, firstly, you may not love my answer to this one, but I want you to ask yourself why you care so much about what other people think of your goal and your dream. Do you care because you need them to support it or else you're not going to go after it? Because I caution you, my friend, speaking as someone who is a recovering people pleaser, recovering, you know, external validator. I don't even know how to say that, but I was very externally validated when I was growing up. And I'm telling you, as somebody who's recovering from that, somebody who's realizing how much that affected my life and really controlled the decisions I made, you gotta put a pause on who you're letting influence your choices. And not only your choices, but the actions you take. Because we all make choices. Like we make choices every single day. But the choices that ultimately have an impact on our life and the choices that ultimately determine whether we get the goals and the things that we want, you know, we can make those choices, but if we don't follow them up by action, they're not going to happen. So something that I want you to consider, and this is actually an activity that I love, that I've done with clients, that is in my online program, is I want you to take out a piece of paper, or better yet, take out like a little sticky note. And I want you to draw on that a 1-inch by 1-inch square box. Just a little square in the middle of your paper. You know, I don't want you to, you know, actually, yeah, get out a ruler if you can. Use that. Doesn't iPhone have like an app now where you can measure things? Use that if you don't have a ruler handy, since not many of us do anymore. But draw a little box in the middle of your sticky note or in the middle of your piece of paper. And in that box, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write whose opinion matters to you. And I don't want you to get all like chicken scratch, like Unabomber style, like little itty bitty handwriting here. Like the kind of handwriting we all used to use on our like cheat sheets in college when they said, oh, you can have one piece of paper with whatever information you want on it. And you like write in this like itty bitty microscopic handwriting. Yeah, don't do that. Not in this activity. All right. I want you to write the names of whose opinion matters to you within this box. And I'm going to caution you right now about putting too many names. If the names don't fit, A, you got a big problem. You have way too many people whose opinions matter. And the reason why this is a problem is it's like the, have you ever watched Say Yes to the Dress? And it's like the girls who bring in like a dozen people to help them choose their perfect wedding dress. There's too many damn opinions there, right? You know, and there's sometimes just multitude of really, really loud opinions. And these poor girls can't even get their opinion heard because they're being drowned out by all the other opinions in the room. that's exactly what's happening here. You know, so many of us have just way too many people who are weighing in on each and every decision we make, each and every action you take. And this activity helps to put that into stark, stark context. If the names don't fit in the box, there's too many names. I also want to caution you on feeling like certain people's names should be in your box. There's that should word again, right? Shows up all the time. But you might be looking at your box and saying, well, my parents should be on that, right? I will be 100% transparent with you. My parents and really nobody in my family is within my box of whose opinion matters. Nobody in my family is in that box for me. Because really, as much as I love them, as much as I respect them, I also recognize that we have vastly different value systems. We have vastly different, you know, perspectives on what living a good life means. And because of that, I've determined that in some of the decisions I make, their opinions don't matter as much as mine does. If you're, you know, like many people that I've done this assignment with, you might find that the only person whose name actually ends up in that box for you is yours. And that is also okay. But we have to get to the point where we no longer let people have so much say in our lives. We no longer weigh the opinions of like the dozen person peanut gallery on Say Yes to the Dress. We need to get to the point where we don't do that. Because ultimately, there need to be very, very few people whose opinion matters to us. So if you're finding that you're feeling that embarrassment, that fear of judgment, that guilt toward achieving your goal, give this activity a try. See if it helps you, because it's really, really helped me and so many of the other clients that I've worked with this same type of thing. Last but not least, I want to talk about one more emotion that is super, super common to feel. This is actually something that I had a very, very long messaging conversation with a client about recently. And it's basically the feeling of worry when you start moving toward a goal. In this particular instance, it was somebody who was making a huge career shift and they were worried. You know, we talked about all of these things in a prior session. You know, how can you make enough money to support yourself in this? Well, you can do X, Y, Z. You know, that might involve charging more. Okay, well, that's nerve-wracking, but we can build up to that, blah, blah, blah. And then the result of that in between sessions was a very, very, you know, worried text messaging conversation about, well, what if this doesn't pan out? What if this doesn't pan out? What if this happens? It's worry and it's catastrophizing. So catastrophizing is a word that I think the first time I heard it was Brené Brown saying it. And essentially what it is we start to spin stories. We start to take a situation and just, you know, spin an insane story from it. So like if you have, you know, an ache in your shoulder, then that means, or like an ache in your neck, then that means you broke your back. And that means that you're never going to be able to do this. And oh my God, you're not going to be able to do this now. And that's going to mean, you know, 10 years down the line. Do you see how like even just that spinning kind of sensation as I'm speaking there, we've probably all done that before. Like I did it when I was in graduate school that I thought, oh my God, I answered this question so stupidly in my preliminary examinations. Oh my God, they're going to know that I don't belong here. They're going to kick me out, blah, blah, blah. Have you ever done that? You've totally done that, right? I am so not the only one in this instance, but that's called catastrophizing according to Brené Brown. And these are things that we tend to do when we're going for something we really care about, when we're making a big life change. And you know what? I want to emphasize here, worry, even this sensation of catastrophizing, is totally normal. It's so normal when you're pursuing something new to worry. We do not like uncertainty. You know, human beings, we want to know the game plan. We want to know how things are going to work out. It's why we tend to stick to our comfort zones so much. It's because we crave certainty in our lives. But whenever you're doing something new, you're a beginner, right? and there's uncertainty in front of you. You don't know how things are going to work out. You don't know how you're going to handle a new challenge. And it's scary. And we worry. You know, but the funny thing about worry is it is a completely unproductive emotion, right? Like, we know why we do it. We're trying to protect ourselves. We're trying to anticipate the things that are going to come up so that we can be prepared for them. But sometimes worry can get taken too far, and we are essentially causing ourselves stress, unnecessary stress, for a situation that may or may not happen. In the same way that we don't have uncertainty about how, you know, a situation is going to play out, about how we're going to ultimately achieve something in our lives, we also don't have certainty that any of the shit that's spinning in our head is actually going to happen. So we cause all of this stress and all this drama in our lives unnecessarily. So I want to emphasize to you how normal this is. And I also want to emphasize to you how I actually think it's a good sign. Because worry, when you're, you know, trying to do something new, when you're trying to achieve something, you're trying to do something you've never done before, in my opinion, worry means you care. If you weren't worried, I would say that's a bigger red flag. I would say that you're pursuing something that you probably don't give a shit about. And in which case, why the hell are you pursuing it? But how do we overcome worry? Ultimately, the way in which we can overcome worry is to play out the situation we're worried about. You know, in this particular instance, in this client that I was working with, you know, his biggest concern was worry about finances. You know, he was moving from a financially secure position into a position where he would essentially be self-employed. And it worried him. You know, how am I going to make this much money? Okay, well, if I charge more, does that mean that, you know, I'm going to price myself out of working with the clients I want to work with? And so essentially, it was what was so amazing in the moment, and this is really always what I work up to with the clients that I work with, is that he essentially coached himself through all of his worries. He did exactly what I'm telling you to do now, is he played out the situation. Okay, well, what will happen if I truly can't make ends meet, you know, right away in this new position that I'm pursuing? Well, I'll just get another job. You know, I'll work, you know, in my other job X number of days a week. That right there will give me enough money to support myself. And then on the side, on 2 or 3 days a week, I'll do this other new career. And then when I build that up to the point where I have X number of clients or I'm making X amount of money, then I can do this full time. But until then, it's okay if I can't, because this is new and it's going to take me a little bit. Like, he was typing it all out to me, which was great, because I loved seeing him go through this thought process. And it's exactly what I want you to do. So I want you to think of whatever you're trying to pursue right now. And what's the worry there? What's the thing that you're afraid of? And I want you to play that out. Play it out. You know, play the catastrophe out in your head. And then I want you to ask yourself, okay, if this happens, what can I do to bounce back from it? You know, if it's a situation of starting a new business, which I feel like all of us entrepreneurs can relate to, okay, if you're starting a new business and it's not going to financially support yourself, what can you do? You can do exactly what I'm doing right now and start a new position that gives you what, oh my God, can I just say what I'm so excited about with this new position is I basically get to be a coach and a mentor, but I get to teach alongside that. Super stoked, really pumped about that. But you can do the same thing, you know? You can take another position. You know, it doesn't even have to be anything like corporate-y if you don't want to get back into that. You know, I found a position that allows me to still be remote. When, like, so excited about that, you can do the same thing. You know, the possibilities are endless nowadays in terms of the kind of work you can find, right? So if you can't make the dream work with your first plan, change the plan. So that's really my advice to you in this situation where if you're worrying, if you're catastrophizing about how you're going to make something work, play that situation out in your head and then come up with a plan for how to fix it. You know, I was listening to Mel Robbins' Take Back Control of Your Life. Is that what it's called? I always forget what this audiobook is called, you guys. But I was listening to that on my walk the other day. And, you know, she talked about how, you know, we've got to realize that we can change the plan. You know, we're going to start with plan A, but the likelihood that you're going to be able to make the dream happen with just plan A is slim to none. You know, you're probably going to go all the way from plan A. What does she say? Plan A to plan W for the win. You know, you might have to get to plan W before you can make the goal happen. And that's okay, as long as you don't give up on making the goal happen. You know, we only quit when we stop trying, right? So if all you're doing in the process is changing your plan, you're still moving forward. It's just like that, you know, you learn 10,000 ways to not make a light bulb. Okay, well, you're learning what path isn't working for you in the process of pursuing your goal. You just got to be willing to change the plan and change the path. And there ain't nothing wrong with that, my friends. If these three things resonated with you, I'm so pumped if they do. I hope that these examples and also the tools to how to overcome them have really, really helped you and really served you today. If you're dealing with something that I didn't quite address and you want a little bit of support in how to overcome it, please, please reach out to me at coachellen.com/transform. Set up a call, no obligation, you know, no commitment. We're just going to chit chat and we're going to give you the tools that are going to really, really help you level up. I can give you a book. I can give you a podcast. I can give you, you know, another person to follow that can really help support you in whatever you're struggling with. Like, I don't give a shit if you work with me. I want to give you the tools that are going to help you level up your life. All right. So that's coachellen.com/transform. Coachellen.com/transform. I'm going to say it 80,000 times because I want to connect with you. I want to serve you in a way that helps you to overcome whatever emotions are stirring in your head, because those emotions right now are holding you back and they don't need to be. So let's talk about what tools we can give you to help you get over that hump and get moving toward the dream life that I know you deserve. We just got to show you that you deserve it as well. So with that, I will talk to you all next week. You have a great weekend and I'll see you soon, my friend.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, please share it with your friends so that they can join the tribe as well. Or better yet, share it on Instagram stories so that I can shout you out and send you a huge thank you. Your support means the world to me. And of course, I want to thank you for being a part of the Growth Tribe.